This season is supposed to be joyful, but for many of us, we're just exhausted. We're giving gifts, hosting gatherings, serving at church. We're carrying the emotional load of the holidays, and somehow it feels like joy is the one thing that we just don't have. But what if I told you that joy isn't something that you chase? It is something that God placed inside of you as a gift, and there are many ways that you can consciously tap into that joy. Hi, and welcome back to the Living Love Podcast, where we study God's Word for a life that's rooted in God's love and empowered to impact our world for Christ. This is the third week of Advent, so we are focusing on joy in 2 Corinthians. Please take time to read this short letter from Paul, and remember, I provide Bible study work pages on my website at samantashambo.com for individual or for group Bible studies. I must admit, I have to be very intentional about being mindful in this season of overwhelm. I've been traveling extensively, and now I have 4 weeks at home to tackle so many important projects. I have to take care of some health issues and to be present for the people in my life. To enter into joy, I must remind myself that every project and every person is connected to my values and to the people that I love. And therefore, they are a source of joy. But I also have to learn to release the tasks that don't fit this criteria. And this is a big shift for me, because I normally go overboard during the holiday to try to please and to impress everybody around me. And the result is almost always that I end up feeling exhausted, grumpy, and with a very dirty house. So this is the lesson I'm learning this season, and it's the main idea for this episode. We can find sparks of joy in our situations because Christ is God's gift to us. You are right if you think that Christmas should be a joyous time. The Christmas story makes that very clear. Mary sang a song of praise and gratitude when the angel told her that she would bear the Son of God. The baby in Elizabeth's womb jumped with joy when Mary arrived to visit her. The wise men were filled with joy when they saw the star resting over the stable. The angels told the shepherds they were bringing good news of great joy. And suddenly the night sky lit up with a choir of angels singing glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill to all people. Christmas is truly a time for great joy. Why? Because it marks the moment when God's salvation became visible, when it was made manifest in the person of Jesus Christ. The joy that permeates the Christmas story is salvation joy. It is the anticipation of a great and marvelous salvation that would break every shackle, just as the prophets proclaimed. It is not a happy feeling created by favorable circumstances, but a deep assurance of salvation. So joy is the deep, steady, and grace-rooted confidence that God is present, God is faithful, God is at work, regardless of our circumstances. It is not a temporary feeling, but a spiritual posture formed by trusting in God's character, responding to His grace, and recognizing His activity is in and around us. So this week, as we enter into this third week of Advent, we turn our focus to joy. And hopefully we take a moment to recognize and savor the joy that is ours this Christmas, even in difficult circumstances. I was surprised to see how many times Paul mentions joy and rejoicing in his second letter to the Corinthians. Paul refers to joy or rejoicing around a dozen times in 2 Corinthians, far more than in 1 Corinthians. This is powerful because 2 Corinthians is his most emotional and painful letter. Yet it contains the highest concentration of joy language in his correspondence. When we get to 2 Corinthians, Paul's relationship with the Corinthian church had deteriorated even further. And the letter is filled with Paul's passionate and sometimes desperate attempts to reconcile with the church and to redirect them towards faithful representation of Christ in their secular society. I believe we can learn a lot about the real, consistent joy from this deeply emotional communication between Paul and the church that he loved so dearly. This discussion matters for us because, like the Corinthians, we must interpret what salvation looks like in our messy, emotional, and conflict-ridden daily lives. But before we get into it, let me share a little Bible trivia with you. The Greek word chara comes from the same larger family as charis, which means God's grace, favor, kindness, and generosity. From charis, we get two key terms. Chara, we meaning joy, and charisma, meaning gift, especially spiritual gifts. A charisma is a grace gift, something like singing beautifully or serving faithfully, empowered entirely by God's grace. So joy is a state we experience when we receive God's grace. And spiritual gifts are the ways that we are empowered to bring joy and salvation to those around us. The pathway to joy in this episode is as follows. Recognize Christ as God's gracious gift to you. Find sparks of joy in your situation and decide to choose joy. First, recognize Christ as God's gracious gift to you. Paul begins 2 Corinthians with a powerful reminder that every promise God has ever made finds its yes in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 19 to 20 says, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed among you, Silvanus, Timothy and I, was not yes and no, but in him it's always yes. For in him every one of God's promises is a yes. For this reason it is through him that we say amen to the glory of God." In Christ, God's grace is not vague or uncertain. It is settled, trustworthy, and overflowing. This truth becomes the foundation of everything Paul will say about joy throughout the letter. What is striking, however, is that Paul speaks of joy while navigating some of the most painful and emotional moments in his ministry. He writes about affliction, pressure, despair, sorrow, and strained relationships. Yet he continually circles back to the grace of Christ as an anchor for his joy. For Paul, joy is not the absence of hardship. Joy is the deep assurance that because of Jesus, God's yes, God's grace is always present, always active, and enough for us. Joy is rooted in the unwavering grace we have received through Jesus Christ, the one who fulfills every divine promise and sustains us even when life feels overwhelming. Because joy is rooted in grace, the grace we see in Jesus becomes the wellspring of joy even in the most emotionally demanding situations. In 2 Corinthians 1, 24 to 2, verse 4, Paul tells the Corinthians that he wrote to them out of much distress and anguish of heart and with many tears. The Greek terms he uses convey deep pressure, crushing conflict, inner turmoil, a heart squeezed in anguish. They communicate overwhelming emotional weight. Paul was not writing from a place of ease, but from a heart that was breaking for the people he loved. And yet in the same letter, he consistently speaks of joy and rejoicing. Why? Because for Paul, it's never the denial of pain. It is the result of grace. His joy is grounded in the unwavering grace of Christ, the one in whom every promise of God is yes. Paul finds joy not in the circumstances of his ministry, but in the evidence of Christ's grace at work in the lives of those that he serves. Even the tear-filled ministry becomes a source of joy when God's grace is transforming people. This is why Paul can hold sorrow and joy together. Christ is the foundation, and whenever this grace is active, joy will always rise. And this is where Paul's experience meets our own experience. Many of us live with mixed emotions, a joy woven together with pressure, fatigue, grief, and disappointment. Remember, joy is not something we manufacture. It is something we received in Jesus Christ. Just as Christ was God's yes to Paul, he is God's yes to us today. His grace is present in our responsibilities, in the people we love, and even in our moments of overwhelm. So instead of chasing temporary highs or trying to find or to force ourselves into a festive mood, we can root our joy in the steady grace of Jesus Christ. We can look for His grace in the lives around us, in our families, in our churches, in small acts of faithfulness that show that He's at work. As we do this, we discover that even when our hearts are pressed, grace still overflows and joy can quietly rise up in our lives. Now, let's talk about finding sparks of joy in our situations. The next place where Paul mentions joy repeatedly is 2 Corinthians 7, verse 7 to 16. Here we see some very practical things that spark joy for Paul. Real, tangible reasons for joy that grew right in the middle of relational strain, repentance, and restored connection. In 2 Corinthians 7, we see one of the most emotional moments in Paul's relationship with the Corinthian church. He had written them a painful letter, a letter that caused him anguish of heart and many tears. Because he loved them enough to confront what was harming their community. While waiting anxiously to hear how they responded, Paul felt pressed on every side, conflict around him and fear within him. But when Titus arrived with good news that the Corinthians had received this correction with sincerity, that they longed for restored relationships and that real repentance has taken root, all sorrow turned into overwhelming joy. So let's look at what sparked joy for Paul, because these are some of the things that can spark joy for us today. The first spark of joy Paul mentions is the joy that comes through comfort and encouragement. Titus visited the church in Corinth, and when he returned to Paul, he came back refreshed. He told Paul about the kindness and the warmth he received from the Corinthians, and that really comforted Paul's own heart. For Paul, seeing someone he loved encouraged brought him joy. So your joy wasn't self-focused for him. It grew wherever he saw God's grace bringing comfort to others. And isn't that the rule for us as well? We often feel joy when someone we care about is restored, when a weary friend finds strength, or when a hurting family member finally catches their breath. The second spark of joy came through longing, mourning, and zeal. Titus told Paul that the Corinthians were longing for restored relationships. They were mourning over their sin, and they were eager, zealous, to make things right. Their emotional honesty assured Paul that they genuinely cared. Their humility, their desire to repair what was broken, and their yearning for reconciliation filled him with joy. Real repentance opens the door to real joy. And many of us know this personally. When someone apologizes sincerely, when a relation turns back towards healing, when humility replaces pride, joy enters the room. The third spark of joy came through transformation. Paul had written them a painful letter, not to wound them, but to heal them, and the response brought him deep joy. He saw eagerness in them, earnestness, a renewed commitment to holiness, and the restoration of integrity. This is the joy of watching Christ take shape in someone's life. We feel something similar when we witness spiritual growth in a friend or a family member, when we see someone choosing truth, choosing healing, and the way of Christ. That kind of joy runs deep. Finally, Paul experienced joy through mutual trust and confidence. The Corinthians treated Titus with honor. They followed through on what they said they would do, and their obedience rebuilt Paul's trust in them. Nothing sparks joy quite like seeing trust restored after conflict. Joy grows whenever faithfulness and integrity takes root. Paul is teaching us something so important here. Joy doesn't just come only from celebration or from everything that goes well. Joy arises from the quiet work of grace in our relationships. We experience joy when someone we love is encouraged, when humility softens a hard heart, when spiritual growth unfolds slowly but surely, when trust that was once fractured is tenderly rebuilt. These are not dramatic moments, they are grace moments, and grace moments always carry joy within them. So perhaps one way to enter into joy this Advent is to look for grace in the people around us. Look for small steps of growth, the moments of humility, the signs of restored connection. Notice when someone is comforted, when someone apologizes, when someone chooses truth, or someone takes one small step out of darkness towards healing. These moments spark joy for Paul, and they can spark joy for you too. Last, we must decide to choose joy. As Paul closes his letter in 2 Corinthians 13 verse 11, he leaves the church with a simple but a very important command: rejoice. It is striking that he offers this command after pages filled with emotional struggle, misunderstandings, corrections, and tears. Paul knows firsthand that joy is not about spontaneous feelings. It is often a spiritual choice, an act of faith grounded in the unwavering grace of Jesus Christ. When he tells the Corinthians to rejoice, he is inviting them to place their trust not in their circumstances, but in God, whose promises is always yes in Jesus Christ. And friends, this is also God's invitation to us as we enter into this Christmas season. Many of us are carrying heavy loads, fatigue from the year, relational tensions, worries about the future, or grief that resurfaces during the holidays. Joy may not come naturally in moments like these, but Paul reminds us that we can choose joy because joy is rooted in someone greater than our emotions. Joy is grounded in grace, sustained by Christ's presence, and strengthened by the Spirit that's working quietly in our lives and in the lives of those around us. Interestingly, modern psychology supports what Paul teaches. Research from the Greater Good Science Center at UC Berkeley shows that intentionally noticing moments of goodness, small experiences of grace, connection, or gratitude, actually rewires the brain's emotional pathways. Over time, these micro moments of awareness strengthen our capacity for joy, even in difficult seasons. In other words, choosing joy shapes our minds towards greater resilience and emotional well-being. Joy becomes not just a feeling, but a practice, cultivated posture. So how do we do this practically? How do we spark joy during a season that can feel so heavy? Let me offer a simple framework, three practices drawn from Paul's experience in 2 Corinthians and from everything we've explored in this episode. Number one, notice grace. Paul found joy by noticing the grace of Christ at work in Titus, in the Corinthians, even in his own afflictions. Joy begins with awareness. So every day, pause and name a moment of grace. Someone was encouraged, someone was softened, someone grew, someone was comforted. When grace is noticed, joy awakens. Number two, celebrate small steps. Paul rejoiced in longing, in mourning, in zeal, and every tiny movement towards healing. He didn't wait for perfection. He celebrated progress. So celebrate every small step of transformation in yourself and in others. An apology, a moment of courage, a step towards truth. When you celebrate small steps, joy multiplies. Number three, participate in reconciling love. Paul's deepest joy came from restored relationships and renewed trust. Joy grows when love is practiced. So ask, who is God inviting me to encourage, forgive, or approach with more gentleness this week? Joy grows whenever we join in God's reconciling work. When you notice grace, celebrate small steps, and participate in reconciling love, you create space for joy to rise. So this Christmas, choose joy, not shallow joy that depends on gatherings and ideal circumstances, but in the deep, steady joy that arises from knowing that Christ has come near. Choose joy by paying attention to the grace that is at work in your relationships. Choose joy by celebrating small steps and by noticing when someone is comforted or when reconciliation begins or when there's flickers of hope in someone else's eyes. choose joy because Christ, the light of the world, has stepped into our darkness and His grace is still transforming us one quiet moment at a time. May you experience the joy that persists through tears, that grows through grace, and that points us back to God who keeps every promise. And as you gather around your tables and move through these busy days ahead, may Christ's joy rest upon you and rise within you. Thank you for spending this time with me today. If this episode encouraged you, I would love to hear from you. Send me a message on social media, visit my website, or email me at lovinglove@samanthashambu.com. Remember to subscribe and to follow us so that you don't miss out. And don't forget to share this episode with someone who might need a reminder to choose joy this Advent season. Until next time, keep loving love.